Good morning. As we begin continuing our series that we're going through in Luke, the investigative gospel, I can't figure out what I'm doing here. Today we'll be looking at Luke chapter 1, verses 39 through 45, and we'll get to those in just a couple of moments. A message that's titled, A Baby on the Way, Blessedness All Around. How many of you actually own a Bible? I don't mean you have it here with you or anything, but you actually own one. If you're like me, you know, I've got like 7 or 8 Bibles at the house, different versions and different things. And if you're really into it, some of you, where's Mike at? He's over here. He's got a little electronic thing and he pulls it out all the time. On our Thursday night group, we get together and we actually have his electronic thing read the Bible to us, or Kelly has that as well. Those electronic versions, you got 20 different copies of the Bible on there and you can flip around and do all kinds of things. But did you know that if you own a Bible, just one Bible, you are abundantly blessed? 1/3 of all the world does not actually have access to a Bible. That's hard to imagine, isn't it? If you woke up this morning with more health than illness, you are more blessed than 1 million people who will not survive this week. If you have never experienced the danger of battle, the loneliness of imprisonment, the agony of torture, or the pangs of starvation, you are ahead of 500 million people in this world. If you can attend a church meeting, you're all here today, good, without the fear of harassment or arrest or torture or death, you are more blessed than 3 billion people. If you have food in the refrigerator, clothes on your back, a roof over your head, and a place to sleep, you are richer than 75% of the world. If you have money in the bank, in your wallet, and spare change in some dish somewhere, your ashtray counts, okay, you are among the top 8% of the world's wealthy. If you prayed yesterday and today, and you are a minority because you actually believe that God does hear and answer our prayers. And if you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and as your Savior, you are blessed as being part of a small minority in the world. I got a question for you. Yeah, that's fine. Go ahead. How many of you are feeling blessed right now? Exactly. But what does the word blessing mean? What does it mean to be blessed? Today we'll be talking a little bit about that. What does it mean to be blessed? Any thoughts, any ideas? Anybody want to feedback? What does it mean to be blessed? Unmerited favor. Okay. Anyone else? See, sometimes you'll talk about a baby being born, you'll say that that baby is a blessing. Or you might refer to, you know, a baby as he or she is such a blessing. Do you know that Merriam-Webster, the dictionary, it says blessing, it defines it as to be held in reverence, to be honored in worship, of or enjoying happiness, bringing pleasure, contentment, or good fortune. See, when I was thinking of this word blessed, and how I would define it, trying to define it simply, I come up with another word. And that word is goodness. See, if I were to give someone my blessing, I'm giving them my good thoughts or my prayers. And if I am a blessing to someone, then I've probably just done something good for them. See, blessing and goodness tend to go hand in hand. Now, East End's Bible Dictionary, it gives 4 different ways that blessing is done, and they're in the handouts that you have. They're not going to pop up here for anything. The first one is that God blesses His people when He bestows on them some gift, either temporal and spiritual. And I have them written down there, and the Bible verses should be there, so later on you can go and look some of those up if you want. Spend some time looking up blessing, how God blesses us. A man blesses himself when he invokes God's blessing. Or he rejoices in God's goodness to him. And I think we may have done a little bit of that earlier today as we were spending time in worship. We bless God when we thank Him for His mercies. And the last one is that we can bless one another. We can bless each other. When we express good wishes or we offer prayers to God for each other's welfare or for each other's benefit. This morning, what we want to do is to look at Luke chapter 1, verses 39 through 45. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there. If not, Don has had room in the bulletin, so he actually puts it there for you. And if you want, then it'll pop up there for you. Or you can sit and listen. As we continue going through Luke chapter 1, verse 39 reads like this. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." Now, did you know that in this passage that we've just read, the word blessed appears three times? See, it refers to the woman that is carrying the child. It refers to the child himself. And then the third one is, it refers to the one that believes God. See, goodness is given to all of these, and goodness comes from these. Goodness and blessing can be associated with all three of these people. So as we dig into it, the beginning of this passage tells us that Mary is on the move. She goes to visit her cousin Elizabeth. See, to me, that's not a big surprise. The angel Gabriel, you might remember last week, actually visited Mary and spoke with her and told her about all these things that were going to happen. And in all of that conversation, told her that Elizabeth was pregnant, that she was also going to give birth. Now, that's a really amazing thing, given that Elizabeth has never, ever had children in her life. And now she's really old, past the age of being able to bear children. So as Mary prepares and she goes and visits Elizabeth, think of it as a final confirmation. Because you see, if Elizabeth is pregnant, then maybe everything else that this angel has told her, maybe it's all true as well. Verse 41 tells us that these two ladies are in the middle of something quite extraordinary. Elizabeth hears the voice of Mary and the baby inside of her, you know, the soon-to-be John the Baptist. He leaps inside of her. Now, I've never had kids, but women, I'm sure you're imagining it right now. All the kicks and the movements that take place. John the Baptist actually leaps inside of her. That's amazing. Verse 41 also tells us that at that point, Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Spirit. And these two women, God is using them to accomplish His purpose. And Elizabeth tells Mary, "Blessed are you among women." Why would she say that? What was so special about Mary? I think that Elizabeth is actually telling Mary that God has bestowed upon her a wonderful gift. See, the Virgin Mary is carrying inside of her the Messiah of God, the Savior of the world, the Son of the Most High God, the Creator of all, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and we can go on and on and on with names of Jesus and attributes of Jesus. Mary has this child growing inside of her, and she has goodness because of it. It is a gift from God, and she's worthy of it. Don't forget the angel Gabriel's words that we looked at last week in verse 28. She was favored by God, and God was with her. And all this stuff that's taking place is truly a blessing. But not only does Elizabeth say that Mary is blessed, Elizabeth goes on and says that the child inside of her is blessed as well. What did she mean by that? How could this little child be a blessing? What goodness will this baby do? Well, for the answer to that question or those questions, you really need to look at the entire life that this baby is going to live. See, this baby is not an ordinary baby, but he is the Son of God. His name would be and still is Jesus. And what goodness will this baby do? How will this baby be a blessing? Well, how about this for starters? He will heal those with leprosy, those that are lame, those that are blind, those that are weak. He will walk on water and do things that nobody else has done before. He will drive out demons. He will teach all about God and what God wishes for our lives. He will correct the misconceptions that we have about God's word. He will live a perfect life, and he will offer himself as a sacrifice. And then he will offer salvation and eternity to anybody who will believe in him. See, Jesus, he did all those things and so much more. Jesus, by his life, by his actions, he became the ultimate blessing for us. For without Jesus, none of us would have salvation. None of us would have any hope for the future. It was this little baby that would do all of that. And Elizabeth, being filled with the Holy Spirit, she looks forward and she knows that that child that is growing inside of Mary will be a blessing to the entire world. He will bring about goodness in the world, and he himself will be a blessing to anyone that believes in him. Now, verse 45, it contains the third blessing. We have seen that Mary has received a gift from God and is blessed. We have seen that this baby that she is carrying is a blessing to all the world. And now in verse 45, Elizabeth gives the last blessing. And she says, blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her. So I was looking at this verse, I was wondering, who is it that Elizabeth is talking about when she says, blessed is she? Is she talking about herself, Elizabeth, or is she talking about Mary? I think she's actually talking about both of these women. See, both women have received from God something that is impossible. See, Elizabeth is too old physically to have a child, and yet God says she's going to. And she is. She's pregnant and going to have a child. Mary is a virgin. And so because of that, it's impossible for her to become pregnant. And yet God says she is. And she is. Both of these women, they are looking impossible right in the face. And we know, of course, from last week, that nothing is impossible for God. And Elizabeth and Mary believe that. And apparently you all believe that too. So what blessings does their belief in God give them? What goodness does it give to their lives to trust in God? I think that we can see several blessings that kind of come out of these verses that we've had and the stuff that's here. And you know what? They're the same blessings that we can receive. The first one, Elizabeth and Mary, they had no fear about their situation because they knew that God was in control. I can imagine that the people of their towns, you know, wondering why Elizabeth, an elderly woman, why is she pregnant? And then you go a step further and imagine Mary and the village where she's growing up in, and her friends, raising eyebrows and gossiping about her. The virgin? Yeah. And the child that's growing there? Mm-hmm. See, these women, through all of that, they had no fear because God was in control. The second one. Elizabeth and Mary had hope for the future because of what godly things their children would accomplish. See, they would have looked around And they would have seen the oppression of Rome and the result of rebellions. And their minds would have been filled with thoughts of things that were taking place. And all of that would have given way to peace because God keeps his promises. And the third thing is, Elizabeth and Mary, they would know that God would work everything out. See, the question about Joseph's reaction, the provision for the children, all the other worries, God always keeps his promises. I hope that you know today, as you sit here, you can have the same blessings that Elizabeth and Mary had. See, our belief and our faith in God gives us these very same blessings. And we are blessed. So how do we take the story of Elizabeth and Mary some 2,000 years ago and apply it to our lives? How do we take that and make it work for us and put our lives into that? Well, the first thing is we should have no fear about this life because God is in control. The second thing, we should have hope in the future because of what Jesus has done and what he continues to do. And see, he has gone and he has prepared a place for us. And the third thing is that we should have peace in this life because we know that God keeps his promises. And as we wrap it up and as the worship team comes up here and leads us, as you're singing or as you're standing there, sitting there listening, think of ways in which you are blessed. Because we are blessed. We are blessed beyond measure. God richly blesses us all the time. And his blessings are poured out upon us.